Washington, D.C., October 8th, 2016. It was a cool, rainy day. My hair was wet, my body cold, and my feet were aching from the hours we had spent walking, discovering our nation's capital. We started our day early that morning, knowing the opportunities were endless. First was the Washington Monument. I thought that the day had already reached its peak when I looked at the site that stood 555 feet in the air, and my politics-loving heart was about to spring out of my chest. That continued until we reached the Lincoln Memorial. This time, my service-loving heart wrapped like a vine around the monument that stood before me. I felt as if I could hear Lincoln reciting the Gettysburg Address as I read it on the wall 47 years ago. And then this. 58,272 names on 246 feet of granite wall stretched out before me for what seemed like forever. The weight of the granite and the weight of the names felt like bricks in my chest, and tears began to fill my eyes as I saw my reflection. I realized that the names were not merely names, but sons, fathers, and friends. I could smell the sweat, touch the wounds, and see the bloodshed. The Vietnam War took so much from our country and from our families. As I saw the 58,000 names staring back at me, the man who ran through my mind was my grandfather, a Vietnam War veteran who realized his duty to serve. He left his home at 18, not for himself, but with his country in mind. He went into battle, protected his men, and was injured twice in two landmine explosions. He returned home, hearing loss in both ears, receiving two Purple Hearts. My grandfather's name easily could have been one on that wall of 58,000 others, but the landmines did not take his life, as they took many others. We honorably settled the Vietnam War, but my grandfather had won. Not because he got out alive, but my grandfather had won the war between selfish and selfless acts. He realized his duty to serve, saying, "I enlisted. I was not drafted. I always knew I wanted to be a Marine, to serve my country. Semper Fidelis, always faithful to your core, always faithful to your country." Americans throughout history have given their all, from framing the Constitution in 1787 to defending our country both then and now. The framers and our soldiers always lived to serve others. The Constitution tells us that we were born free, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness free, but we are told in Galatians 5:13, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in worldly things. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." Because to serve is to be an American, human, to love and to live. Will the youth of America win the internal war between selfish and selfless acts? Will the youth of America grow into servant leaders who know the difference between I and we? Will the youth of America exceed the standard of servant leadership that is set? My hope is that in the future I can answer yes to these questions. When we fall prisoner to the voice in our head saying, "I must do this for me," I hope that the voice in our heart prevails saying, "I must do this for us." My hope for the future is that we, as Americans, realize our responsibility to serve, not only through active duty, but active service and leadership. My hope for the future is that we nurture our hearts for service, because it is when we serve others that we rise, individually, as a nation, and as a world. My hope for our future is that we lift others up with our love, create light with our words, and show compassion through our actions, and that we realize I alone cannot change the world, but I alone can change a life. My hope for the future is that I'll strive to serve our country, knowing that to serve doesn't mean to frame a constitution or to fight in a war, but to lead others in the direction that is right. My hope for the future is that all men and women, boys and girls, know and act on the idea that to serve is to be an American.